Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
All right, let's get started.
All right. Well, thank you for joining the Vertical Shift Podcast today, everyone. I'm really encouraged, guys. I've had several people reach out, say they're listening, they're enjoying it. And I'm a little surprised after that first episode. So if you're listening now and you haven't listened all the way up, I do want to give you a warning that the first podcast is titled In the Beginning. We had like a 10-minute intro song.
We did. It took a little bit longer to get there.
And I'm surprised if you have listened to all those. So thank you.
You have more time than we do.
We do want to give a shout out to Justin for creating the world's longest podcast intro.
Yeah, right.
I uploaded the wrong one.
We did. And
if you made it through that, then you know the song stopped eventually, and it only got better and shorter.
We did fix it.
I will say it was I sat down with my family to listen to the first one, and it reminded me of the part of the Finding Nemo movie where they're like, "Oh, you're a clownfish, tell us a joke." And he starts to tell it, and their face is just... family was just kind of like, is it ever going to start? Yeah. Just kind of,
You have to remind Jeff that he's not on camera, so no one can see
your face dropping. But we saw it.
If you saw Finding Nemo, then you know.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
But anyway, so we've just wrapped up, the About Us series, and we're getting into this series about pursuing God and, what are some things that we go through, some things that we struggle with, that though in light of those things and through those things, we still find ways to pursue God and to continue our relationship with Him. So if you haven't listened to those previous episodes, if you're starting to listen now, I encourage you to go back, listen to Jeff's episode, really. I'd just rather you listen to that one. No, I'm just kidding. We're thankful that you're listening. I do want to also point out, guys, we have an awesome email address. So if anyone,
it's super easy to remember.
It's so easy. But if someone wants to email us, I mean, get your pen and paper down.
It's like the equivalent of the minute intro music,
Yeah, just go back to episode one and hit play. And then by the time you get done writing down.
But we do have this. So in case someone wants to contact us, we would love to hear from people.
Hit it, Tommy.
All right. So the email address is www.vertical.shift. Can't even get through it. www.vertical.shift.podcast@gmail.com.
That's a lot of dots.
Gosh, that is wow. Well, did we approve that, or did you
have
pick
you,
it?
Have you ever tried to put together a Gmail address?
No, but I want to and make it shorter.
You start putting what you want, it's already taken. Or you start put it in something else, already taken. Then they wanted me to have like vertical shift 8429. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense.
No, just give us 84 dots.
Exactly. So, vertical.shift.podcast.
Dot.
No, not dot. Oh,
that's it.
At Gmail.
Yeah, or just go to the About Us part on the podcast. It's down at the bottom. It's a copy paste.
Control C, Control V.
Save you time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jeff, you're back in America.
I am.
Why don't you tell us, tell the audience where you've been.
Yeah, so we just got back from a mission trip to Zambia, and got to work with some missionaries over there. And we, in the mornings, starting at 7 to 1, we taught students that desire to be teachers or leaders or pastors, three different curriculums, basically, throughout the week. And so we did Christian leadership. We did hermeneutic, so how to interpret the Bible, and then Old Testament survey. And so we did that all 5 days that we were there teaching. And then in the afternoons, we did a mini basketball camp with some of the teenagers, which is super fun. But, man, it was hot. But, yeah, it was great. It couldn't have gone better from traveling to what we got to do and the relationships being built and established. And so, yeah,
that's cool, man. The photos look really sweet. Just all these folks that came to truly like sit, learn, be taught, and then to take that back to places, like just a beautiful picture of the gospel.
I tell you, the conviction from that was some of these guys drove 8 hours to be there for the week. So they gave up a week's worth of pay for work away from their families, slept at the church on wooden benches or on concrete floor, and went to class 6 hours a day. They had to pay to get there. And I'll go, man, here we are at home. And I'm like, there might be a thunderstorm in the forecast. I'm not going 2 minutes down the road in my car. Well,
yeah. And also, though, coming to listen to people teaching them in a different language and having to get that through an interpreter wasn't the easiest thing.
No.
Look, I speak English, and I didn't know what hermeneutics was until today.
Well, there you go.
So it's like, and then you're trying to teach them parallelism or something. I mean, kind of talk a little bit about that.
I mean, some of, especially, you know, Steve, you know, was the one that taught, you know, the hermeneutics one. And it's in depth. It's seminary course level, you know, and.
But these guys, just to kind of highlight that though, these guys were our church leaders in their home churches, and they came for this type of training.
They are. Some of them have been in. He does like a 3-year cycle with his students, so for over 3 years he invests in them and that kind of thing. So we had some that had been doing it for a couple of years, and some that were, it was their first class. And so some of the guys are older. Some of the older ones, I felt like they have a harder time, number one, understanding English, but also understanding some, you know, when you talk about metaphors and, you know, allegory and those kinds of things in scripture, is like, I don't know what that means.
So Justin, Jeff is probably, you know, well, not probably. Jeff was a missionary on the field. He's kind of used to being in a different country, teaching the Lord. But you and I, you know, what the really cool thing about this is when we hear and realize that 8,000 miles away, they're serving and worshiping the same God that we are. You know, you and I went to Colombia together, and we kind of saw that there. And just think, Africa, if you start thinking about just, you know, it kind of makes it does make the world smaller than what we think it is, but how big God is.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think, you know, like I said, the pictures really did. It just kind of puts into perspective, you know, the fact that all that's taken place. Yeah. And again, beautiful picture of the gospel and scripture of how, you know, you're teaching, sharing, and those folks, like you mentioned, Jeff, are going back to bring and to teach others. Like that, that's why there's such power in multiplying, right? The gospel message and all that, versus thinking that a Jeff, right, would go to all these countries and go, you know, share and teach and instruct, like, man, teach others so that they'll teach others. Mm-hmm. So something for us to learn as well.
Well, I mean, it's even things like, you know, the first time we went, we strictly did a basketball camp, you know, and at the end of the week, you feel like, what did I really accomplish as far as the missionary task? Even though we get to share, you know, a short devotional each day with the students and that kind of thing, you just feel at the end, you're like, man, that was a lot of effort, a lot of sacrifice and all this to do. And we spent the majority of time playing basketball. Fast forward to this trip, you know, with relationships were established in that. And now we go back and they know who we are. You can build on that. You can have more in-depth conversations. They open up. They've been included me in their group text now for the basketball team. That's so cool. I get, you know, so they're asking me questions all the time about different things and not just basketball. So those things are cool. And, you know, the whole thing, like even the missionary over there was like, I didn't come over here to play basketball. You know, he's got his doctorate, you know, he's like, I didn't get my doctorate to come over and play basketball. But he realized when he humbled himself, hey, this is an opportunity to invest. And when he did that and walked through that wide open door, it opened up to get into the homes. The dads are coming and saying, thank you. And so he now has a wide open door into the home to share the gospel. So, you know, those things, you know, we think are insignificant, but those are just open doors for something bigger.
Well, the Lord is using all that. That's the thing is, you thought that, hey, I went over there, played basketball, I didn't really do anything. The Lord said, no.
Yeah.
Let me show you something, Jeff, or whoever, you know, any of us, we would think that. And because we feel like, oh, well, there's some sort of measurement we've got to do and make to please the Lord. And he doesn't need that.
Right.
You know, he can build on that, all of that. So,
yeah. And I feel like too, you know, if we're thinking about, you know, last time's topic, you know, of just busyness, like I know y'all are busy on the trip, but like that's a different kind of busy.
It is.
It's purposeful busyness where, You know, we talked about last time, you know, there's not always good busy, you know, and that kind of, you know, transitions us into kind of what we're talking about today. And that's, you know, these, you know, sometimes we get so busy, we get stuck in this, Tommy, you mentioned it, the cycle, mm-hmm. right, of just being in a rut or the way we think about things and just feeling like it's endless. And so, I don't know, it's just a really pretty picture, man. And then for us thinking about tonight, it's like, you know, how do we begin to think about going from busyness to purpose and shifting our thinking?
Yeah.
Is really what we want to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I think, you know, this topic in particular is one that hits close to home, because I feel like, you know, we can all relate to it to some degree. We all have something that has a stronghold. Our brains are wired in such a way that, you know, we can go a while and not ever struggle with it, but somehow, some way, we find ourselves back in it. And it can be so defeating, so discouraging. And you just think, man, I'm never going to find freedom in this.
This particular topic, you know, again, this is one of those topics that we went through, those subjects we went through with our men's group last fall, completely changed my life in a way that the light bulb went off. I've read the verse. Everybody knows the verse, or, you know, it talks about renewing your mind. What in the world does renewing your mind mean? Well, when we went through this book, Winning the War in Your Mind by Craig Groeschel, we went through it as a group read through and study. It opened my eyes to really what it means. And it has literally impacted me in such a positive way, where it, you know, not only the spiritual aspect of it, but the scientific, I mean, you know, the biological aspect of it is real. There is literal, I'm going to butcher it, neurons and neurotransmitters in your brain that are connecting our thoughts, how we react to things, to our emotions, and getting in those ruts. It started to really understand, well, why am I making the same choices? Why am I doing the same things over and over? Because I have wired my brain to do that. Yeah. This was a light bulb.
You always find a way to sound so smart with all those big words you're using lately. Well, I mean, it is.
Thank you.
I just sit here impressed. Right. It's awesome.
Good. He's creating new neural pathways by using neurons.
Let me set up a little straighter.
Say that again. You know.
I practiced it before. No, but it really did. It really, truly changed my perspective on that. I really understand now what it means to renew your mind. And it's real. It's a physical thing that happens inside of us. It's not just some Sunday school word. It's a real deal.
Yeah, I think, you know, it helped me in the sense of, like, okay, I'm not crazy. You know, like, there really is something physically that's already established there that my body reacts to and responds to and runs back to. And I have found, you know, the more, you know, Tommy, we've talked about, like, journaling and writing these things down so you can see patterns and help understand why you do what you do. But kind of looking at it in that regard of, you know, what am I feeling, you know, when I run to this thing, or when I lose my cool and anger, whatever it is, right, that you battle, kind of looking at what is it that's happening in my life that leads me to that point that this is what I run to dissolve a situation, or, you know, to eliminate the conflict, or to, when I feel overwhelmed, that this brings some type of relief.
Yeah. Well, and just like the repetitive sin patterns that that we get into in our life, you find it easier and easier to do with maybe less conviction over it. And that's because you have created this kind of default, or this, you know, this thought pattern or this thought process that makes it easier and numbs it. And it's a physical thing.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, we talked about this and Jeff, before you go into kind of like the science part of it and the neuron stuff that Tommy was talking about. You know, I remember there was that part in the book where he was talking about like they were playing office games, right? Cause they're on staff and they're in a church and it's the office game of like, you know, capture the flag or something. And then one of the staff members was like, you know, hiding in the closet and then they pretended to, you know, make it feel like the door was shut and like they're putting a chair up next to it. And they're like, you're never getting out. It's locked. And the whole time the door's unlocked yet. Like their colleague that's sitting in the closet's like thinking it's locked and doesn't attempt to like unlock the door.
Right.
He just hears that he's locked in the closet. And he's like, you know, the whole time he could have just
like
opened
hours.
The door.
I think the book said he was in there for hours. Like tried to go up through the ceiling.
Yeah. And like the whole time it's like,
he could have just opened the door
because it's unlocked. And one of the things he mentioned there is like, you know, have you considered that you might be trapped in a self-made prison when it comes to like our thoughts and these ruts and the things that we kind of find ourselves going to? And so silly example, but really, you know, profound thought to ask ourselves like, man, how many times am I the one creating a lot of this? And then am I doing anything differently to change it? And I think that's where sometimes we throw up our hands and we're like, well, if it was going to change, God would change it. And all the while he's like, hey, but if you bring it to me, like that can begin this process of renewing transformation, right? Of just these thoughts and these habits and this stuff that sometimes we just kind of throw up our hands.
Well, I can relate to the throw up your hands piece because I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I knew that I kept doing the same thing and I didn't want to keep doing the same thing. I didn't know how to get out of it.
Sure.
I didn't understand.
Right.
And until this light went off through this study, and that's the thing too, is like, hey, let's help share this message of there is a way out. Let's give you some practical ways to actually start working to rewire your mind and to do things differently.
Yeah.
That is key. That was the moment, the mic drop moment for me was, wow, I can do something. This helps me define it. It helps me understand it. And it helps me see a way to change.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the frustrating part is I don't think anybody's that's listening even and thinking about the things that they trip up on and struggle with, they don't wrestle with the fact that it's a sin. They know it is, right? And they hate that is a part of their life, but they keep running back to it. And there's no, like, I mean, we've done studies before that identifies things. We're like, yeah, that's me. I do that exact same thing. But there was no, like, how-to tools. What do I do now, you know?
Well, I love it when we read in Romans about Paul. What does he say? Why do I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do? I'm like,
right.
Well, he just took that for like, that's me.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, in this book, in the study, it talks about the neurons that link together to create messages. It says the same message sent multiple times will create a neural pathway. The presence of a neural pathway makes a thought easier to think and makes it easier for your body to send that same message again and again. So kind of looking at it in the sense of like, man, if you keep going to this thing, you know, to appease whatever battle you're having, the more you go to it, the bigger that pathway gets. So it becomes like a highway. Like it's not hard to get there. And it almost feels like the bug looking at the bug zapper light. You know, it's like, I know it's going to end to my demise, but I can't not go there.
Yeah. And this is what I love. You know, over the years, you know this, but the more you see it happening in your life as a believer, the Lord speaks to these things. And I think about what you're saying, Jeff, and it reminds me of Proverbs 26, 11, 12 says, like a dog that returns to its vomit. That's a cool picture. A fool does the same foolish things again and again. Mm-hmm. People who think they are wise when they are not are worse than fools.
Yeah.
And it's like that constantly going back to something you know, you're just like, man.
I think the thing that's interesting, the more that I've thought about kind of like just word pictures of this, you know, when you think about a highway, I think there are so many different on-ramps to get back onto that highway. You know, like, you know, there's so many justifications. There's so many situational things. And you're like, oh, man. And, you know, and you rationalize and do all the things. And all of a sudden you're back on the highway again. You're like, man, here I go. Headed right back to it. And it just feels like there's nothing you can do about it.
I like how you even use the metaphor of a highway, a big, wide road. And it just kind of goes into the other parts of Scripture where, you know, wide is the easy path and narrow is the way. You know, and just all of those things, these are tied into this. And again, it's just Just amazing. Back to the dog and the vomit thing. I wish that I wish my dogs would eat their own vomit because I wouldn't have to clean it up.
Or just don't have a dog. That's what Justin and I do.
That's what we won't talk about.
Cheaper.
We won't talk about why Jeff doesn't have a dog. But anyway, move on.
Well, I think, you know, when you think about the sense of, you know, I think, you know, when we did this study, I used the example of like a truck, you know, on a muddy road, and there are ruts that are created from vehicles going previously. And when it's wet mud like that, your tires are going to fall into those ruts. And it's that same thing of going that. And, you know, it showed this video, this guy, like his steering wheel's turned completely to the right. He's doing everything he can. You can see the determination on his face that he wants to get out of this rut, but his truck just keeps going straight. And so the book talks about, hey, listen, there are ways to do this, but you got to dig trenches to get out of the rut. It takes work, and it takes continuous work to do that. And so looking at these things, what are some, you know, when you think about the ruts that most believers find themselves in, right? It's the same things that really kind of lead to divorce. You know, when you think of, you know, money and sex and, you know, communication issues, whatever those things are, you kind of look at those and you go, hey, what of those three categories, you know, are healthy, biblical, and what are not? What have I brought in to my marriage? What have I brought into my spiritual, you know, walk and journey with the Lord that's not healthy, not good, but man, it is a highway right back to where I was. So,
And I want to say too, is not even just married people, even single people who allow those things into their life will, you know, certainly damage, you know, their walk and set themselves up to not be in a good place when and if they do, you know, find a partner, a spouse, and things like that. So yeah, I think it applies in both categories. For me, one of the biggest things was replacing the lies with truth. Mm-hmm. Now, I had to, you know, realize that a lot of the things that I was telling myself, or, you know, that I had gotten used to as a default answer, was I needed to do the opposite. But I had to learn how to reinforce the reasons, and maybe I was making a decision out of an anxious thing, you know, or a, we talked about it before, you know, like a spontaneous kind of decision, because I'm like wired that way. Like I want, if I feel something, I want to fix it. Or I want to do something about it, whether it's, I want something for me, or I want to, you know, get out of something. I want it to happen immediately. And I would do these spontaneous things. You know, so I had to learn how to replace the lie that I needed something then, or that with a truth that pointed me back to what God had planned for me and what his purpose was and what his word says about it.
Yeah, and even in the book when you talk about the trenches, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the chapter literally creating a trench of truth, right? And in that it talks about, like, you know, how our problem with the problems we have is that we attack the problem. And we don't go after the root, like back to the trenches thing, you know, 100%. And that's where, you know, we talked about the example of like a tree, and like you want the tree removed. Well, you got to remove the tree and you cut it down. It's like, well, no, you got to go and dig up the root to get the tree out. And a lot of times I think we don't want, or maybe we don't recognize until we have people in our life that are like, you know, are speaking humble, honest, important truth into our life about, hey, here's the thing. And then at that point, you're responsible to like take action and be aware of it. And then I think that's kind of the crossroads where it's like, I don't know if I really want to like deal with the root.
Right.
And so, you know, there's this thing that like, man, why is this happening? Why do I keep doing this? Whatever. And then when it kind of becomes, you become aware of it, it's like, I don't know. Maybe I just want to like, maybe it's just easier to
100%.
Not deal with it.
Yeah.
And then that's when we mask it. We sweep it under the rug, right? Anything like that.
Well, that's, we mentioned it before. I mean, sin satisfies in the moment, right? Or we wouldn't run to that, right? It wouldn't have that hold on us. And so knowing that, but I think that that's where truth comes in, right? Like sin is not satisfied. It's going to destroy us. It doesn't just end at that one thing. it's going to take, because that's not going to satisfy. So it's going to go something further, something deeper, and then that it's going to end in your destruction. And so I think knowing that truth, but then also knowing, you know, yeah, that sin satisfied in the moment, but man, I'm worse off now. You know, I hate myself. I can't believe I did this again. Here I am. I'm never going to get beyond, like, all those things kind of spiral, and then they lead to other decisions, poor decisions, right? And so knowing, I feel like for me, what I took out of this is, yes, you've got to know truth, but you also got to think about the consequences and let those both be motivating to change. So,
yeah. So, you know, one thing that I kind of learned out of it too, I'm going to hit you guys with another big word, is cognitive dissonance.
All right. You're not holding your phone. Where'd you get that word?
From my brain. And this is where I found myself. So as I started, you know, strengthening my walk with the Lord, I had the desires of in my heart to do things that glorified God, yet my brain was still wired this other way where I was making these default decisions that were opposite of my desire. Mm-hmm. So those two things conflicted. So I had a desire to glorify God, but my actions didn't glorify God. Mm-hmm. And the conflict created anxiety in me or regret and sadness.
Yeah.
And it was that constant kind of battle. Like, how do I change this? Mm-hmm. How do I change it? And I had to want the change to happen. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't want it, we're not going to seek out the things.
Right.
To help. And, you know, having a group of people around to speak truth in you is critical. Being in the Word is critical, and learning to start memorizing those verses. I mean, it says, "What you hide my word in my heart, so I don't sin against you." Like, all these things link together in all of this.
Yeah.
And so as I started to memorize Scripture, and I still work on it, when things come up, that Scripture would come up in my mind, or I would journal. We talked about journal. I would journal. I could read back in times when I wasn't, you know, when I was struggling, and I could read back. And now I might be having the same temptation to get something, to do something. And I read back, and I'm like, man, you know, that's a reminder that I don't want to keep going down the same path.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys this. So kind of knowing those things and kind of looking at them like, right, like, I would say probably the biggest thing that plagues men in general is pornography, right? And kind of what that provides, the easy access that has, and the destruction that it causes. And kind of looking at all of those things and that highway that's been created, you know, I think back to my experience, you know, my first exposure, I was 9 years old, you know? And I feel like that in itself is an issue that, you know, that was pre-cell phone. And now you've got all these kids with phones and all the things that they're exposed to and all of that. So kind of looking at those situations and going, hey, how do we combat this? How do we deal with this? And so if somebody comes in my office and they're like, hey, this is what I struggle with, my first question is, how serious do you want to be about this? Like, how extreme are you willing to go? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to get rid of your phone? Are you willing to, you know, have people that you would be mortified that, hey, you looked at this and I saw what you looked at, you know, those types of things, and kind of looking at that. So I feel like that accountability and all that is huge. But here's the question that I have. How do you create like this dopamine hit, right? That's why we run to those things, that part of your brain, that chemical that is released when you run to things that like that. How do you create a dopamine hit for good habits? Right? Like, how do you have that same thing that helps you rewire and run to something that's good? Right? And so
I'm waiting for you to answer.
Well, and so
you're waving your arms around. So I don't know really what.
So,
you know,
so yeah. With that, we are going to pick this up in the next episode. Oh. So you've got to come back for this one. All right. So
well, I can't wait.
Thanks for tuning in. And we look forward to hearing you next week.